Hello there, and welcome to our podcast, Conversations in Noosa. My name is John Caruso. Katia Anton has the kind of accent that's really hard to pick. Katia's mum was from Finland, and Katia's family settled in a small place called Formello, just outside of Rome in Italy. Photography, travel, wildlife, cooking, and the environment are all things that Katia is passionate about. In this podcast, we talk about all of those subjects and more. And is there a secret to photographing food correctly? That one's especially for people who love posting food pics on Instagram and Facebook. I hope you enjoy the podcast. This is Katia's story.
Ooh, I picked up my first camera when I was about 15. My grandfather gave me a large format Mamiya. And so playing around with that, and then with film cameras, in the dark room, enjoyed dodging, burning, printing, film. Now, obviously, then moved on to digital, but it didn't actually become profession until I moved to Noosa. I always did it.
With digital cameras these days, do you miss that old process of going into a dark room and developing film?
It is beautiful. It's kind of a form of meditation. You go in and it's
that's what it looked like to me.
It is. It's some people think it's very sexy. Some people think it's an art form. Yeah, there's first taking the photograph and then there's the processing it. But I guess you could say the same about digital now.
Do any photographers still use a darkroom where they develop with the chemicals and all that kind of stuff?
I think there are.
Yeah.
It's a dying art. It's passion. So people do it, but you can get exactly the same effect with digital now.
I want to talk about your background and where you're from, because you've got a mixed, you're from all over the place, aren't you, Katia?
I'm a bit of a Euroland gypsy. Well, my mother's Finnish. I was born in the same hospital her in Finland. My parents met in England. My dad's Anglo-Italian. He was born in Italy, grew up in France and Spain and England. When they met, they eventually moved to Italy. So I grew up there, just outside Rome. And I went to an international school there. And when I was 18, I moved to England to go to university and work. And then I started traveling. And then I ended up here.
What do you remember about your childhood growing up just outside of Rome? What are the fondest memories for you?
I have very fond memories of my childhood. It was a beautiful location. We had pasta every day at school, freshly cooked. I'm not enjoying lunch boxes this side of the world. I guess it's the freedom, but then that's years back. The freedom of roaming around the countryside, of the community. You know, everybody knew everybody. And still now when I go back, the butcher remembers me when I was young. He loves seeing my kids, and it's that sense of the people, the community that I miss.
Whereabouts? You mentioned just outside of Rome. What's the name of the village or the...
Near Formello.
Right.
It's near Lake Bracciano.
Great.
It's, there's a castle there. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes got married there, just to put it on the map. A little bit of local gossip for you. And everyone looks out for each other. And everybody knows everything about each other, and it can be good and bad, but I think it's for the positive. I think sometimes nowadays it's everything's so quick and fast, and people are isolating themselves a little bit, and you miss out.
Would it be the kind of place where you would like to raise your family and your kids?
I absolutely love it. I strive to take my kids back to live a little bit of what I had growing up, but I suppose... I never worked in Italy. I'm not entirely sure I could deal with the bureaucracy going back at this point in time. And I suppose we've chosen Noosa, which is beautiful, small. It's, you know, the kids love it here, outdoors, and we get the opportunity to travel. But I'm not entirely sure I'd bring them back now. Europe is not in a happy place right now.
Let's talk more about your journey. So from growing up and being schooled in this little place outside of Rome, where did you go to next? Like, where did you do college or university after that?
I was always passionate about conservation and wildlife, but I also dabbled in theatre and acting. What I wanted to do was kind of marry the two passions. So I went to university, a Roman university, a Roman town, Bath University, not far from my roots. And there I read biology, and then I went into television. doing natural history documentaries, so wildlife conservation. Always visual, always bringing back that element of...
Behind the camera?
Yes. I wrote, directed, produced, and most of my work was documentaries for children, which was fabulous because they're an incredible audience. They seem to take on a lot more than adults would, you know, big subjects. And they're passionate about it. And, you know, I thought then, and I still do, you know, if anyone's going to change the world, it'd be them. So show them what's out there and they'll care. And if they care enough, they'll change it. We did a lot of traveling with these documentaries to lots of wonderful places. And I would take all the photography stills. So whether I traveled for pleasure or for work, I'd be constantly photographing, I guess, you know, always been a bit of an observer. So, you know, the beautiful, the ugly, whatever was there.
When did you meet Sam?
I met him when I was working at the BBC in the UK in Bristol. My flatmate was in love with his flatmate and they ran off and got married. And so we were often left chatting. And from there, we hit it off. He was working at the time when I met him, and he was working in tourism. So he loved traveling, and he grew up in England, France, and Spain as well. So we had a lot of common. In fact, I think when we met, we spoke Spanish. I've always been a bit of a foreigner wherever I was, because even though I grew up in Italy, I went to, an international school, and my parents weren't 100% classic Italian, I was considered a bit of a foreigner. I moved to England. I didn't grow up in England, so I didn't have those, you know, finer nuances, the little, the jokes, the slang and everything. So I was a foreigner.
I think the first time I met you, the accent is hard to pinpoint.
It will be mixed. I have a bit of the Finnish, the English, the Italian, and some even say now a little bit of the Australian, but I don't know.
What part would you say would be the Australian?
I don't know.
I don't hear any twang, Katia. I think you're okay.
Haven't developed.
Tell me about you get together. Sam was working. Was he also working in kind of a visual arts?
He did a lot of touring. He did cycling tours.
All right. Bike rider.
Luxury cycling tours, taking mainly Americans to beautiful spots in Europe to eat and drink and cycle. So he did a lot of that, and he dabbled in filming.
Was that your common ground in terms of you'd come from a film and audiovisual background and Sam had it well? Sam?
No, I think it was our love for food. I think I won him when I made that first plate of carbonara. My mother's an amazing cook and she does everything from scratch. Although she's not classically Italian, she puts a twist on everything. And I shouldn't say this, but she probably cooks the Italian dishes often better than Italian. You know, she's a fabulous cook. So I did a lot of cooking at home with her, and even they just like eating good food. So we just always ate well. I was so lucky, you know. They used everything that was seasonal. They used everything that was local. It was, you know, the meat was fresh and local, the fish, those were all very important elements of food.
Do you still like to spend a bit of time in the kitchen?
I do. And down the local farmer's market, I pretty much, yes.
What's your favorite dish?
Oh, the family's dessert would be tiramisu. I don't know, we cook a lot of dishes. I don't have a favorite dish. We rotate. I guess having come this way now, one picks up all sorts of things. You know, there's Asian influences over this side. I guess just the same as my background, my culinary influences are all a bit of a mix.
Is that a challenge, photographing food, making it look good in cookbooks and magazines and things like that?
It's not as easy as people think. You have to find the face of it. Lighting is important, composition, working with the chefs. They are literally putting together a bit of artwork. It's exciting.
Let's explore this a lot more, because without a doubt, on social media, on places like Instagram, people taking shots, and even on Facebook, people taking shots of their food kind of floods your stream or your Instagram, whatever it is. Everyone likes to photograph what they're eating. 9 times out of 10, though, a lot of the stuff, like, you know, the colours, if it's a curry or the colours just awful, people have no concept of what makes a great shot of food or a dish that's just been served up.
I think people get excited about the effort and what's and their creation, and often the taste. Something can look awful and taste amazing, but when you photograph something, it's all about looks. So there certainly has to be, you know, the light, the composition, the colors. You need even what it's plated on. Sometimes I use a light tent.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll just use a reflector to lift up those shadows. Often food can tend to be dark and it's got all sorts of angles and it's not smooth, so you get all the contrast distracts you, so it distracts you from the food, so you need to lift the dark bits and, you know, the highlight. There needs to be a bit more even the light. So
what still drives you in terms of photography? Is there something that you haven't done or shot or been inspired by that?
I love the creativity that can go behind a shoot. So anything where I get to style. I used to do a lot of styling in telly, and I used to work in cinematography and everything. So anything where I can style, where I can create, where you can create something beautiful, and also working with people that have made something and I'm trying to convey their passion and translate it into a picture.
So irrespective of the subject?
Irrespective of the subject.
Yeah.
You know, that food is somebody's creation, how they plate it, how they see it, how they feel those, you know, flavors coming together. So I suppose you're trying to bring that in its best possible light. You know, when you take a newborn photographs, whether you take a pet, people getting married, you're observing those intimate moments between each other. You're capturing, again, it's sort of an honor to be there. It's being able to bring out those moments, whether you're creating something from scratch in terms of a product shoot, but you know, you can have a lump of cheese, but you can make that cheese look beautiful, put it in context, style it, or whether you're capturing two people that are in love.
Do you have to really coach people?
I'm not much of a director when it comes to natural moments, especially with weddings and with portraiture. It's genuinely, I like to take a step back and let them have their own natural interactions, and I'm there documenting that moment. Obviously, I can direct them into standing in one corner rather than another because the light is better. But yes, it's making them feel comfortable and maybe encouraging them to remind each other of a particular story or particular moments that makes someone smile or laugh or their eyes light up. But encouraging them to pick up on their magic moment.
I want to talk about the kind of lifestyle that you and Sam live and the kids. And for me, you know, it sounds like a very envious lifestyle. You guys get to travel back to Europe and you go for long periods of time.
It's challenging, but it's definitely doable. And, well, I believe it's worthwhile. Otherwise, I guess I wouldn't pursue doing it. I think it's a wonderful time for the children to experience other culture, language. When we go over there, they do courses, they get involved with, you know, all sorts of things out there. Last year, Luca, my son, did a professional pizza making course. And Mila is bilingual.
Yeah.
We take them different places. It opens their minds in different ways. They see things that they wouldn't see here. And but we do bring a bit of work with us, and we do it. But it's amazing how much they pick up, and they haven't fallen behind yet in school. So we'll see. As a parent, you just want to wrap them up in cotton wool and have them as close to you as possible. But if they're anything like their parents, both Sam and I have traveled extensively and I have very fond memories, whether it's Bolivia or the cloud forest in Ecuador and a farm in China, India. It's incredible. And I think the world is an amazing place. There's so much out there. They should go out and see it.
Do you ever envisage that you and Sam will kind of up stumps and leave Noosa at some stage?
We say that. We talk about it all the time. Ever since we got here, we thought we'd leave. And 12 years later, we're still here. I think Noosa has become our home. I'd like to think of it as a base, but I'd love to be able to live part-time.
For two people that have traveled so much and seen the world so much and, you know, you're very worldly, can you comment on the kind of community that Noosa is and the kind of people that exist here?
It's an anomalous town in Australia. I've hardly met anyone from Noosa, in Noosa.
No, it's very rare to find someone that was born and bred in Noosa. I'll give you that much. That's
so
true.
So I suppose it is a beautiful international community and many, many people come and go, but you have the beautiful advantages of a small town, a beach town, but it's got lots of wonderful things that I love, like great restaurants, food, a good community. It's safe for the kids.
I often hear from people that some people find it hard to make friends.
Yes, but I'm not entirely sure it's a Noosa phenomenon. I think it's a modern fast life phenomenon. I think people are just very busy and people are very, you know, into themselves, their family, and there's just a lot going on. And so I think it's an insular style of living and it happens everywhere and here in Noosa. So yes, sometimes it is difficult to make friends because everyone's got their own thing going, but I wouldn't say it's just Noosa.
Some people might consider photography as a hobby for them. You do it as a profession, Katia. So what do you do as a hobby to relax?
I've taken up stand-up paddleboarding. When in Rome, when in Noosa, I needed a toy to put in my garage as well.
River, beach, Lake Wyber, whereabouts?
Well, last weekend I was on Boreen Point, doing it out there. I'll do the river. If it's flat, I'll do the ocean, which is stunning, going around National Park, Tea Tree. Early in the morning, you see the little turtles. It's just beautiful.
By yourself or does Sam come along?
No, he's surfing. Yeah. I usually go by myself or I put either the dog or my daughter at the front of the board.
Katia, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some of your stories with us.
Thank you, John, for having me.
And I hope you enjoyed that podcast. If you did, please feel free to share it on social media channels and rate and review it if you listen to the podcast via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher or Wooshka. Remember, there are two fresh podcasts every week on the In Noosa Magazine website, innoosamagazine.com.au/conversations. Until next time, take care.